For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. I wonder how many of you know the song that the Birds sang in 1963, a long time ago. I remember it. A lot of people here may not have been of an age to listen to the radio in 1963 and sing along with the songs, but this is a very famous chapter of scripture that we've just heard that is one of the lectionary readings for New Year's Day, and an appropriate scripture to look at the turning point of a year, as we look back upon a year past, and as we look ahead to a year that has just begun. Now, I want to confess to you that I put this service together more than a week ago, because during this week after Christmas, I spent a couple of days with family, and I wanted to get some of the work done ahead of time so I could enjoy that time. And I had no idea, none of us could have had any idea 10 days ago what the state of the world would be today. I remember last Sunday in our worship during the Joys and Concerns, John Bryant stood up and shared a concern about what was only breaking on the internet last Sunday morning. The news of the tsunami that followed the terrible earthquake in the Indian Ocean. And I remember John reporting what the news media were saying at that time, that there were thousands of dead and the fears that the toll could go up into the tens of thousands. And who of us could have imagined the scale of the human loss that we have seen? Estimates of 150,000 dead. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. And this is a time to weep. But I've had a little bit of trouble weeping, and I'll tell you about the struggle I've had, and that is that it's hard for my mind to wrap around the idea of 150,000. It's like I can't conceive of a number of suffering people that large. It's like my heart is kind of blocked when you're dealing with tragedy on such a large scale. If you see a news story about a single individual who goes through a devastating experience, it's easy for us to relate to that individual. We related to the story of Polly Klass. We related to Lacey Peterson. We can imagine the terror, the horror, the pain they went through, and we can relate to the grief that their families suffered and suffer. But I think I have a hard time relating to the idea of millions of people displaced and suffering. It just is beyond the imagination. And yet, there is pain. Millions of people are in pain. And I believe that we are all one human family. I believe that we're all children of God, that we're all sons and daughters of one Creator, and that we, as one community, when one person suffers, in some way the whole human family suffers. And with millions of people in pain and suffering, I think we all are in pain, even if we're not able to feel that pain. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. But this is a time of mourning. One of the things that we tend to do as human beings is to try to make sense of tragedies. Have you found yourself asking the question, why? Have you tried to answer the question, what does this terrible tragedy mean? It's human nature to try to do that. I was talking on the phone earlier this week with an acquaintance of mine, and this is what he was trying to do. And he told me what his explanation of it was, and I don't agree with his explanation, but he said maybe God was firing a shot across the bow to get our attention, to divert us from the wrong ways in which we're going in the world, and to get us to care about what's really important. And my problem with that is, first of all, I don't think that's how God operates in the world. And second of all, if God wants to send a message to the United States, I don't think God would do it by devastating people living in Sri Lanka and Thailand, impoverished people in the third world. This is what I believe about how God operates in the world. I believe that when God created the universe, God set everything in motion, maybe with a big bang. I can't begin to explain how. But I believe that God created the universe and gave it its independence so that nature and the universe operate according to the laws of nature. There is an element of chance in what happens. There's an element of randomness in what goes on. And scientists actually study that. They call it chaos theory. But I don't picture God like a puppet master with the world on strings, controlling things, making a storm happen here or stopping something from happening there. Just as God has given us free will and doesn't control what we do, God did not tell us to get up and put on whatever we're wearing this morning. We made those choices ourselves, and the universe works independently of God. And so I think that questions like why simply don't have answers, and questions like what does this mean simply are not really helpful questions to ask. It's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I think a more productive question to ask is, where is God in all of this? And the way I think about it, where God is in the midst of all this suffering is that God is at work fashioning a compassionate response. God's nature is that of one who has chesed, loving kindness, and God hurts with those who hurt, and God wants a loving response to be carried out, but God has limitations. God does not have hands with which to comfort those who are hurting, but we have hands. And God does not have arms to embrace those who are in pain, but we have those arms. And God does not have a mouth to speak words of encouragement and hope to those who are living in the midst of devastation, but we have mouths. And God does not have a body to be physically present among those who are in such dire straits, but we have bodies. And we can be present. And God does not have resources to feed people and heal people, but we have those resources. And God is calling God's people everywhere to be a part of a compassionate response to the suffering that we see. That is where God is in all of this. And we have seen the rising up of an incredible compassionate response in this world. I've been on the phone. I've heard people talking on talk radio. People are looking for ways to help. Even if we cannot physically go there ourselves, we have resources that we can contribute to this effort. And people have wondered, where can I contribute resources in such a way that it's a wise gift, because so many charities use such a high percentage of gifts for overhead. That's one reason why I sent out the emails I did on the church's mail list over the course of the past week. The United Methodist Committee on Relief has set up a special relief fund for the South Asia emergency. One of the beautiful things about being able to give through an institution like the United Methodist Committee on Relief, or UMCOR, is that 100% of what we give through them actually goes to relief, because all of their overhead is paid for by our disciplinary apportionments. The money that churches all across the country pay in apportionments pays the overhead of agencies like this. so that everything we give can be used for that purpose. It's a time to love and a time to hate. This is a time when we can choose to love in this way. And one of the things we're going to do in this service is we're going to pass the offering baskets twice. And the first time through will be our gifts to the needs of Bethany, which are significant ongoing needs. But then we'll pass the basket a second time during the offering. And I've asked people in my emails to write checks made out to Bethany and put South Asia Emergency on the memo line. And then this will be collected in the second offering. And if you didn't bring a check today, bring a check next week. I think that, you know, all of us have plenty of good things we can do with our money. And certainly Bethany has plenty of needs that we could do with the funds that we have. But this is possibly the worst human disaster in the history of the world caused by something like an earthquake or a tornado or a flood. We may never see the faces of those that our gifts will touch. We may never see the face of the man who is fed a meal or the woman who receives medicine. We may never see the face of the child who is given shelter when all her family has been washed away. But we can get immense and incredible joy out of giving in this way, because we will know that we are a part of God's compassionate response to what is going on in the world. And this, I think, is probably the biggest thing that God is calling us and the whole world to in these days ahead. There's a time to love and a time to hate. And God has given us free will. And loving is a matter of making a choice. I encourage each of us to make that choice, and I pray that we will experience joy in being able to give. And I pray that our gifts can help make life better again for men and women and children who are in the midst of devastation that we cannot even imagine. May God's peace be with you and with this whole world as we move into the new year. Amen.